Hello and welcome to another Writer's Bookshelf podcast brought to you by the Gingerlicious Company. I am still, as always, Mr. David Driver, and good afternoon, good morning, guten Abend, guten Tag, wherever you are in the world. Hello, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and the USA, and in particular, Virginia. Thank you for downloading and listening. Well, this episode is all about poetry. I do have a guest in the studio, and I'm going to say a little bit about her. And it's a little bit strange and surreal. And why? Well, when I say we've known each other for a long time, that's all in the best possible taste and nothing untoward. We've known each other for about 20-odd years. And why? Because our children are the same age, so we are parents of the school, of the same school, and we used to be on the sort of school run, and all our children have sort of grown up and gone on to bigger and sort of better things. And recently, some of you will know about the Poets Pasture, a little venture in Silsden Park, so that sort of started taking place. And this lady's walking past with her dog, and we sort of looked at each other and said, I think we know each other, and we do. And my guest this evening said, I like writing, David, I like writing poetry, I'll have to do this, I'll have to do that. I had a little bit of a joke at her expense saying you'll never turn up, but recently, about the last three, maybe four open mics, Gingerlicious Nights, she has attended. She's been to two or three away games, as in performing her poetry at other events. She's going down a storm, and I've recognised another rising star. She's a nurse. Hooray, I can hear you all say it for the NHS. We'll talk a little bit about that. She's laughing away now. She was shaking, and she's a little bit nervous, and I don't know why. So, poetry writers and lovers of Weaving Your Words, I'm going to introduce you to the one and only Louise Hoffman. Louise, how are you?
Well, good morning, David. I'm very well, thank you.
Well, that all right for you, that introduction?
It was great.
You like that? You see, I think I've put you at ease now.
It was great.
We are going to share some of your poetry, but let's just chat a little bit in general. I could see your face when I said about 20-odd years. I mean, our Molly has turned 23 in March, just gone. And Mikey, yep. Has Mikey turned 23 now?
Almost, yeah. He's 22.
Is he April, May?
June.
So June. Yeah, I'm going to say they all have to, so they're obviously all in the same school year.
They are.
And I think I don't think it makes a difference now, but when they were at school, when some of them birthdays were September, October, and then, like you said, Mikey, June, you sort of become one of the youngest in the school.
Absolutely. They've changed so much since then. I can't believe how much they've changed.
I see certain people and just reminiscing then in my own mind, you know, little girls, little boys all queuing up, and they get a little bit older.
Yeah.
And see it playing football. And I can't remember all the names, but in particular, the lads, so to say. There's one in particular, I think his name might have been Harry, and he's about 6'2". he must be about 18 stone, and he's about 6'2". And I just remember him. As being this a little lad, you know, quite a big, stocky lad, if that's the right thing to say. But goodness me, he looks like a doorman now. You know, I think he used to be in his shorts, and they all sort of grow up. Well,
you've got off lightly with a girl, David, because let me tell you how much it costs to feed these 6'4" lads.
Is Mikey,
but he takes quite a lot to feed. It's all about the protein, isn't it, nowadays?
Oh,
that's what they want. Plenty of protein.
So they've all grown up, and you were talking about running. I think your running days now have gone to rest. You used to do quite a lot of running, didn't you?
I used to do a lot of running.
And not now?
No,
not now?
I do a lot of walking. Walks. Much better for you.
The old knees. So did you used to do marathons and half marathons? Or just running for fitness? I remember you used to...
Yeah, and I wasn't a competition person, but I used to like running, listening to music,
just
being
for
outside.
Fitness, really. Just for fitness.
Yeah, but I just do the same, but I walk.
And do you get the same... sort of feeling out of walking, because it's interesting, there was a debate or some sort of talk about not so long ago about running and walking. So is it just about the same type of exercise, but one takes a little bit longer than the other?
No.
Or have I got that completely wrong?
No, I think running is a serious sport, and I think you use a lot of calories running, a lot of people use it for weight loss, but for walking, I think you see more. because you're more aware of what's going on. I walk my dogs, so I'm talking to people, meeting other people. So the experience
you're not pestering people,
is better.
Eh? You're not pestering
only
people.
Only you, David, in Poets Pasture. That's the only person.
Is there anything? Now, tell us briefly, NHS, how long? We all love the nurses. How long have you been nursing, if you don't mind me asking?
26 years. 26 in the
years.
NHS.
In the NHS. So you started off... I mean, there's that many different jobs and functions and carried on. So you've always been a nurse.
I've always been a nurse,
so you started life as a nurse and you're still nursing.
I started doing care work and then I went into nursing when I was 24.
Right, yeah. And you still like it to this day, or are you just at the end of your?
I am in at the end, at the last chapter, David.
We're not going to have that debate because I have other friends in the nursing profession and in the teaching profession. I think we'll just leave it as things have probably changed. Mm. Going back to your day, to coin the phrase, it's probably a different place now.
Very different
management, different expectations.
Yeah.
And you've probably reached that stage in your life where you think enough is enough. You probably still love the nursing. You probably always like the nursing and the caring and the actual job.
Yeah.
But you're probably not a great fan of the politics and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love nursing. I love people. I love patients.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, you can play devil's advocate, David. You can do what you like. It's your podcast. But you're right, yeah. Things have changed. Not all for the better. Mm. And, the NHS is still going. I don't know how long it'll still go for. Mm. I hope it continues for a long time.
Everything seems to change, and obviously in the sort of teaching, whether it's at school, college, university, everything seems to be sort of slightly different. But anyway,
well, change is good. Change can be good.
It can be good. So let's just before you share some of your poetry. Mm. What cast your mind back to school? Were you an avid reader and writer? What were you sort of reading going back to your school days? Any memories of certain authors?
The Enid Blyton books were always my favourite. I was an avid reader.
The Wishing Tree.
I was an avid reader and I remember we had the colours of books, so you'd go up the colours.
At school?
Yeah, so you'd do it on the red book and blue book. And I remember always being at the top end of the class.
Brilliant.
But I was the oldest. So when you talk about birthdays in the year, I'm a September
So it does make a little bit of a...
It does.
At that younger age.
Yeah, it makes a difference. So I was always on the top colour. I was always the one to go up a level before anybody else. So I always loved reading.
So a bit of Enid Blyton.
Loved Enid Blyton. I can't really remember any of my favourite authors, but I do know I used to love magazines. So comics. Comics still around?
Yeah, they are.
So like The Twinkle, and then there was Nurse Nancy.
Yeah.
I used to love the Nurse Nancy comic. So I used to get that every week at the newsagents. Dad used to take me down to newsagents and get that.
But that's good. That's good because, I mean, a lot of people like yourself say, comics and look a little bit sort of sheepish and you don't pick that up when you're listening on the podcast. But I think people think you have to be reading a book. But my argument is you're still reading.
Yeah.
And you've got the visuals. But that's sparking all this imagination because you're thirsty for the story and the writing and what's going to happen with your favourite characters. Yeah. And I think comics, I think it's a bit of a 50-50, really. I think comics can still be there, maybe some online and that sort of thing, but it's still sort of...
I don't know about
sparking.
Comics.
It's still sparking imagination, isn't it?
Anything. Yeah. I think reading anything is good.
And what about writing? Did you enjoy English as a subject? Were you more into any literature, a little bit of Shakespeare?
Definitely not Shakespeare. But yes, I have always written. And I did used to write poetry when I was
very young at school.
Yeah, just simple stuff. But yes, I've always liked. I would say I'm a creative person.
And you like story. And when you say writing fiction, writing works of fiction, sort of stories and
writing about what I saw, lots of things outdoors, garden kind of thing. You know, sitting in the garden, noticing things.
Yes.
Kind of 8 or 9 years old, that kind of thing.
So how have we got here today? Mm-hmm. As in, most people say I've always wanted to write a book, write some poetry, and I think one of the old sayings is everyone's got a story, everyone's got a novel. And we did have a brief conversation in the uh, in Silsden Park, in the Poets' Pasture. But then, is it time then? Because I think what you're trying to tell us, or have told us, is you're going to maybe move away from the NHS and maybe start a new chapter in your life. So am I right in assuming that, Louise?
I think you might be, David. I'm thinking...
So you're writing on a regular basis now.
Yeah, so I'm thinking... It's a little bit of a snowball, isn't it? So I think the more you do it, the more people you speak to, the more time you spend talking to other people who do it, the more inspired you feel. And I've said to you before, when I come to these Gingerlicious nights, I have a great time, and it's the worst thing for my sleep, because I go home and then I just want to write all night because I'm so inspired by all the people that I've listened to.
It's not a bad thing, because we get such an eclectic mix.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, funny, sad, you know, well, just different
it's
mixes.
Brilliant.
And,
it's brilliant.
And different mixes. So are you going to share some of your work? I have to say, I think you're the second person, maybe the second person to bring the laptop in.
Oh.
Because you told me, and we've got a podcast first. I have heard, obviously, some of your work, and you normally read it out. You've got your little file. You've got your file at the side of you.
Uh-huh.
But the laptop is in front of you, because it says something about hot off the press. This poem you're going to... this little poem you're going to share with us, is that hot and new?
It's hot
it
and new,
David.
It hasn't
even gone to print.
It has not. It was the last line was done this morning.
Never.
Yes.
So what, about 8 o'clock? So obviously, we've come down.
Well before then, David.
So
well
to be, then. Just to put you in the picture, this you'll be listening now. Anybody downloading for the first time, you'll be listening on the Tuesday. It is a Saturday morning. It's not so bad in Silsden. Blue sky, a little bit promising. I said, meet me down at the studio about 10 o'clock. So that means Saturday morning you've been penning this poem.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about it then, Louise.
Well, I was adopted.
Yes.
As a baby. And I've since learned quite a lot about the background to that adoption. And it can be quite a distressing subject for some people, but I like to write about things that happen in my life. I think it's quite cathartic, and I think there's always somebody out there who's had a similar experience. So the first thing I'd like to read is about that, about giving up a baby for adoption.
Do we have a title, or is it just a working...
I think it's called A Woman's Loss.
Yes, I like that one.
And it tries to capture the events... Before that time.
Brilliant. You've got the microphone.
Okay.
An exclusive. Here we go.
It is exclusive. Okay, so A Woman's Loss. Anyone who was someone would be there. Date secured. A definite catch. She caught a whiff of liquid courage on his breath. Inhaled his warm smell of soap and brute. 1968 ended on a high... 69 wouldn't be so exciting. He ordered a baby sham like he'd done it 1,000 times. The luminous cocktail cherry threatened to sink. What he lacked on the dance floor, he made up for in charm, hovering a hand over the small of her back, just close enough for her to sense it. His attention peaked as her nylon dress clung to her buttocks. In the distance, fireworks fizzed and cracked at Cromford Court. Auld Lang Syne soon became distant as they walked back to the car. Sweat built between their palms as their step quickened in time with their beating hearts. Each fuzzy breath barely had time to hang in the chilly night air before gasping for the next. No words. Only nudging and groping, he was slick, coordinated, peeling down her knickers and popping a bra, not distracted by the clanking of a gold chain belt as the cliff shifted clumsily. Bare, clammy skin stuck to the leather seat. A stiff, unpolished performance left him euphoric and her unsure. Remnants of sweat and hormones left clinging to the windows of the Oxford Blue Moggy, parked badly behind the Granada studios. Leaning across, his lips barely brushed her cheek as he pushed open the passenger door. Thank you and good night. Two buses and a short walk brought her to number 28, Tiffin Place. Once a home filled with sweetness and laughter, now a house of horrors in an unforgiving society. carrying cheap hold alls and dressed in borrowed maternity frocks, teenage heads hung in shame as they began being processed. And no decent man would be interested in their damaged goods. Mrs. Veronica Stamp answered the door, with a craggy complexion and stern face, asking each one to confirm their name before leading them up the tired staircase. 2 days. Just two. Since the ordeal was etched on her soul, leaving her smarting and broken. She dare not watch over a still pregnant-looking belly as it was snatched greedily and with suspicious confidence. It went willingly, without as much as a gurgle, the deliberate avoidance of eye contact well rehearsed, like the sharp turn of the head towards the door at the far end of the room. Each stride took longer than it should have, a rhythmic clacking of heels vibrating on the disinfected wood floor. She thought it would never fade, and yet it all seemed too quick. Hands cupped over our open mouths, sorrow and pain and dread burned cheeks, milk flowed. Silence came, only to be broken by a strangled cry, the sound echoing off the bare walls, housing naughty girls who came with nothing and left with less. A charming young couple from Leeds, the record showed. Their order had left the depot. Estimated date of delivery, Christmas.
I do like that one. I think that's one of your best ones.
Dear.
I do. That's obviously the first time I've heard it. Anyone else has heard it. I do like it. Very, very moving. I like poems like that simply because, I mean, I obviously cannot sort of relate to it. I don't mean that in any sort of bad way. But I think poems like that can be sometimes hard to write, but as you say, very cathartic, very sort of relieving and move you on.
Yeah.
And I do think people will sort of connect with that because it's obviously real life and it's part of life, and there'll be thousands of other people or more that have gone through
identify
that.
With
you know,
it.
That will identify with that one. So it's
sad, isn't it?
Were it quite an hard one? Quite a hard point to, you know, I've asked people this question before, as in some people might say it's very hard and a bit tearful, brought back memories, or some people are just happy to sort of write that.
It is hard. For me, I've written quite a lot about this subject matter, and it's strange how I always think it's writing about somebody else's baby when actually that baby was me.
Yeah.
But in my head, it's about a different child.
It's funny you say that. I think that's just easier. It's easy to write it from that point of view. I don't know. You're writing it in as someone else's baby, but as if you're sort of looking in through a window.
Exactly.
But it's you. It's a bit. I suppose it's a bit like these films where they go back in time, don't they? You know, it's good as that.
It's maybe a way of removing from it.
And is that? I think you've probably said this, but is that what you find yourself doing? Because obviously you've started putting your work out there. You like going back in time and talking and sort of writing about your childhood and various memories and stuff.
Sometimes I think I maybe remove myself, but sometimes I like to feel in the thick of it.
Oh, we like that. So is that, that's the latest one?
This is
that's,
the latest one.
That's only possibly 2-3 hours, about 3 hours old.
Yeah.
While, when we are recording.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It is.
Any more poems you want to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. How about a more upbeat?
Upbeat one, go for it.
An upbeat kind
of... It's entirely up to you. I do like...
This is a funny one.
I think it's good when people share poetry like this, simply because if I'm interviewing someone with an anthology, you know, a collection, then that might be on a theme, which is brilliant, you know, and you know they're going to be, they're not the same poems, but the different, the theme is the same.
Yeah.
And then I like it when people come in and have a real mixture, because you can have happy, just anything. I never know.
Think so. This one is... A bit of ridiculousness, really.
Is it now?
That's a bit of ridiculousness.
That is right up my alley.
I've told you where it came from. I told you this morning. So I met this guy who at one of your events who made me feel a little bit sad, really, because he told me that poetry for him was about rhyming, and he felt that a lot of modern poetry was more about, I don't know, a verse, story, and not necessarily rhyming, and that kind of dissuaded him a little bit. He's lost his confidence. So I went home and wrote something rhyming for him to say, we are still doing rhyming silly things. It's okay. So this is for him. It's called Who Is Jack Anyway?
I don't know. I think you're going to tell us, though.
Well, he built a house where it all went wrong.
No, I won't put you. Don't get the giggles.
It's true. He built a house where it all went wrong, chasing and scaring and all for the malt in a silly song. Of course the priest is shaven whilst the maid is pitied and sad. She married the poor man, all tattered and torn, but that doesn't make her bad. Then Jack met Jill and fetched water in a pail. No running water at Jack's house, a sadly missing detail. So when they fell, what happened to Jill? Did they share the vinegar and brown paper? And how the hell did that mend his head? It all sounds like a bit of a caper. If Jack had been more nimble, he wouldn't have broken his crown. He should have stuck to jumping the candlestick, then he'd never have fallen down. Clearing a candle, what a ridiculous game. You might burn your behind and put out your flame. What did Jill think to Jack's wife, who apparently could eat no lean? When it came to climbing the hill, she was nowhere to be seen. Perhaps she was preparing to grind the malt to flour, which, whilst he took off with Jill for well over an hour. And little Jack was not a good boy whatsoever. He sat in the corner thinking he was clever. Well, he did pull a plum from a Christmas pie, but what terrible manners, and goodness knows why. His mother, Mrs. Spratt, spanked his behind and sent him to bed. I'm not sure that's in the version that you might have read. He cried himself to sleep and fell into some dreams of a cow and a market and a palm of magic beans. And just as he faced the angry giant and escaped down the winding beanstalk, exhausted from his lucky escape, the boy could hardly talk. He was cold and he was weary. His jacket he had lost. A shame, because there'd been a visit from a certain Mr. Frost. The well will be frozen and Jack is sure to slip, and it might not be his head this time, perhaps it'll be his hip. Jill got fed up of being second best. She married the priest and wore a white dress. Jack's wife kept grinding malt and eating all the fat, whilst the cow with the crumpled horn tossed the dog that worried the cat. The house that Jack built came clearly into view. Just as Jack Horner knocked on the door, a jack-in-the-box went boo!
What you like? Oh, my God. I think people listening to that now, like I did, would have moved away. You know what I mean? And you went right into the microphone there, didn't you? You know what I mean?
Has to be done.
It has to be done. I like rhymey poems, and I think, and I understand what people say, but I do like, I think people, you know, it can be about the verse, it can be about possibly a bit more classic poetry, if that's the right thing. But I think a lot of the people on the circuit, you know, I mean, look at Dr. John Cooper Clarke, a lot of his stuff rhymes, and I think, you know, the funny ones, the rhymey ones and all that sort of thing. It depends how you want to sort of interpret poetry.
I think so. I think some rhyming just gives you a chance to be a bit silly. There's nothing wrong with being a bit silly.
But what I don't like is, I mean, I think all poetry is acceptable.
Yeah.
And I think my sort of experience tells me I accept everyone. You know, it doesn't interest me where you're from. As a rephrase that, I'm not bothered, you know, what your background is. You can have funny poems, sad poems, serious poems, rhymey poems. But I don't like the sort of sometimes element of snobbery that exists in poetry when people think, oh, you know, it rhymes and it's not really poetry, but that is the ones that people want to hear and the ones that people want to... Yeah. I think there's a difference between reading poetry and writing poetry. I mean, look at the silly ones that I've sort of done. I think, oh, I'm not doing that. And then they're saying, oh, do this one, David, do that one.
And
it's just that, and just really simple, silly ones.
Yeah.
So to me, that speaks volumes, because if you're at home in your own surroundings and just reflective, that's different. But if you're out at an open mic night and someone says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, then they must like it.
I think you've got to be respectful. And I think I'm just reading a book that my daughter bought me for Christmas by Stephen Fry.
Yes.
I think it's called An Ode Well Travelled.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's one of the key things that he begins with is that you know, writing is not like anything else. You don't need to pick up a book to learn it. You don't need equipment. You don't need, it's words, and you can use them how you want to use them. You should respect that people want to
play with them. Yeah, and just go for it. Do whatever you want. Have we got some more poems in there?
Well, I thought we'd go back to the original when you were asking me about the NHS. I'll use the podcast to get my message out, maybe.
Globally, a global message.
Why not? So I know you've heard this one before, David.
Don't give it away.
Okay. Right. Okay. This one is called When You. When you act before you think, I feel not heard. When your actions don't match your promises, I feel let down. When you expect me to do a good job but don't provide the resources, I feel frustrated. When you hear but don't listen, I feel invisible. When you ask for respect but don't give it, I feel unappreciated. When you don't follow the rules, I feel a lack of respect. When you fail to apologise, I feel insignificant. When you gloss over things with a, oh well, I feel you don't want to understand. When you send me a turkey and stuffing sandwich at Christmas, I feel that you will feel that I feel valued. I need you to ask. Ask me what happened. I need you to show me. Demonstrate that you did what you said. I need you to give me the tools so I can care for people. I need you to actively listen so you can understand what I'm saying. I need you to be on the same level so we can accept one another. I need you to behave in the way you expect me to behave. I need you to have the courage to admit when you are wrong. I need you to engage with me. I need you to know I don't even like fucking turkey. This is my NHS.
Oh, I like it. I like it. That's the one.
Cause a stir.
Now, I think you've got one in there. You've shared some stuff there. You're a mind reader. Was it one about funny body? Funny body. I don't know why I said Funny Bones. I think that's a kid's book, isn't it? I think I've got Funny Bones.
Yeah, you're thinking Funny Body, David. Do you like that one?
I think it's your signature. It's your signature tune.
Yeah? You want me to read Funny
Body?
You
can do that one.
Okay, last one then.
How many more have you got? Have you got a couple more?
I have got a few more.
Right, what I'll do, we'll do Funny Body.
Funny Body.
Then we'll just have a little chat.
Yeah.
And then we'll finish off on a final poem.
Okay.
So we'll do Funny Body. You can perform Funny Body.
Okay. It's a funny body, my body. Funny strange, funny odd, my body, funny bod. It's not funny laugh out loud, not even worth a snigger. Just funny how some parts have shrunk and other parts have got bigger. Strange the way it's constantly changed since the day that I was born. Strange I didn't always notice when it was looking quite worn. Funny, because these pointed out and now they look south. And I've got these funny lines round the edges of my mouth. It's not funny how it's wrinkled and how bits have suddenly dropped. And just as I got used to periods, they dwindled and they stopped. Because I've gone into the menopause, David. The menopause. What the fuck? For 5 years, I've barely been able to look at my flaking complexion and my thin, sparse hair and what they call the muffin top and anything down there. I went through a time where I tried to get on trend, fearful of age. It was all just pretend. I just couldn't walk in the high-heeled shoes or stay out late and take the booze. And I tried skinny jeans, but I didn't have the hips. And I worried my false lashes had fallen to my chips. Funny body, my body. Funnier than most. Even in my youth, I'd nothing much to boast. And they tell me to embrace it and love every line. Well, For those of you with confidence, that's all good and fine. I can't embrace this. I can't accept what I see. When I look into the mirror, that person isn't me.
Oh, that's the one. I do like that one. I can see on your face you like that one.
I do like
just
that
before
one.
You, just before we share the last one, we'll have a bit of a chat.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you don't mind me saying, you're relatively new. I know you've been writing, like you said, for a while. You're new to the poetry scene, or you're new to the open mic scene, and you've delved into writing. So, and I've got some good plans. I think you're going to rise to the top, and I'm not bad with my sort of predictions.
That's nice.
But any sort of advice, because people will be listening. Quite obviously, people will be listening. Your family, friends will listen, and they'll know. They'll probably know a lot about you, quite obviously, and other people might do. But there's people, as we know, all around tuning in. They might be working for the NHS. They might be in the nursing profession. They might be at a similar stage to you. So what sort of advice, as in writing? And you've talked a little bit about sort of being nervous. I understand that behind the open mic. So what would you say to someone that's listening to this podcast and thinking, well, I've been thinking of doing that?
Well, I would say get it down on paper. Just write it. Always have a pen and paper in your bag, because you just don't know what you're going to come across. Write it down. I think I've been really lucky, because you've helped me. You've spotted me.
No, it's you. It's down to you.
You've guided me, and you've made me.
I'm just happy that you turned up, because I thought you'd be having me on here.
You've made me feel that it's okay to feel a bit nervous. In fact, you've said to me, that's good. That's how you should be, a little bit nervous. So I think find out what's going on. There'll be something going on near you that you just, it'll be a group of people that are really welcoming, and they'll just be really glad of a new face, and use that as your place to experiment and give it a go. And I think the more you do that, and the more you read, the better your vocabulary becomes, and the more you put on paper, and the more you share it, just with even just friends, and get some honest feedback, and just roll with it. Just go with it.
And what would you say to... this applies to both of us. I think if you're at school, we've talked about, children. When you're at school, people want to be in the plays on stage. And I think possibly as you get older, you think, oh, I'm not doing this. I don't want to do that. What would you say to people about sort of getting over the nerves, thinking, I'm not going to stand up and say this? And I'm going to... when you get the first couple of words out, you feel better, Louise, don't you?
Of course you do. Start small. But be around people, and you know yourself. I've made mistakes recently where I've forgotten I wanted to say, but the response was, it's okay, give it another go, keep going. So I think when you've got that kind of positivity around that's the thing that'll come.
And you do connect.
Absolutely.
You know, we're talking about yourself, we're talking about nursing, NHS.
Absolutely.
You've talked about being adopted. There's always something, I believe, in... out there on the open mic poetry where people will connect, which is good. Going right back, would you say, going back to when we said there's a mixture of poetry?
Absolutely. It's anything. You can write about anything.
And it's true to say, people out there, they're not all these sort of well-known poets that can perform and remember everything. Everyone is really on a similar sort of...
They're all writing about real life.
About real life and on a similar sort of level.
Yeah.
As in, and people want to hear. They're always looking for that new... voice, that new face, just to bring something else.
I hope so.
So tell them to get out there and do it.
Get out and do it. Yeah.
Let's finish then. Let's have one more. Well, it's up to you. You can have a couple more if you want, or just one.
Just one more poem
to finish off with, and it's entirely up to you as to what you want to share.
Okay.
I'm sure you've got one in there for us.
I have got one in there.
You've got a folder and everything and a laptop.
I've got a folder and everything, David.
You can't see all this, listeners, but it's my esteemed guest. We're having a laugh. We've been a little bit silly now. You can hear the pages flicking. And Louise Hoffman is a very, very organised person. I can guarantee you that. Got a laptop everything is just in a file, and it's all neatly sort of put away.
Right.
I love it. I mean, very organised.
You like it?
I do. Right. The final poem of this edition. What is it? What is the title, Louise?
This poem is... it's for a little boy called Mike.
It's your Mikey.
It's not my Mike. It's for another little boy. Right. I have a little Mikey and a big Mikey in my life. And this is for little Mikey, who I think is 7. And Mikey lives on my street.
Right.
And he loves cheese.
Right.
And this poem is something I wrote after a conversation with little Mikey. And it's called Queen Fromage.
Oh, I like it.
There once lived a woman on North Street with blocks of cheddar for feet. She ate cottage cheese with chips and peas and a baby bell just as a treat. She wore a Wensleydale crown to match her flat cheese gown, with her long cheese hair all straight and fair. She was the cheesiest lady in town. The Queen had a dog called Halloumi and a cat called Brie and a smoked cheese guinea pig called Mr. Poopy. They all craved cheese and always said please for breakfast, dinner and tea. Now the Queen, she loved her garden, for which she gave no pardon. All her trees bore crackers and cheese, and her deck chair was made of tartan. One day she took the chance to catch a boat to France. It was carved from Edam and had sails of roast ham and a handsome captain called Lance. The people, they travelled for miles over seas and land and styles to pay homage to the Queen of Fromage, who greeted them all with smiles. Whilst walking through gay Paris, where folk kissed and cried, Mon chéri, a rather large crow swooped very low and took her crown, which was really quite scary. As the crow flew up high, cheese jewels dropped from the sky. Cubes of feta and pearl mozzarella fell into a half-made snail pie. Oh, help, cried the Queen, what shall we do? By now she was in a terrible stew. Do not fear, called Captain Lance. My friend Annetta is already on the trail of feta. She will bring your crown back to you. With her crown safely back on her head, Queen Fromage was ready for bed. What a day it had been for the cheesy queen who suppered on dairily spread. Now the moral to this strange story is not to flaunt your glory. Keep your precious cheese in the fridge if you please, or the ending might turn out quite gory.
Oh, brilliant. I absolutely love that one.
Nice,
and you've got some voices going on there.
Oh, why not?
Oh, why not? I'll tell you something now. You might be in Banto next. I'm going to get you in. Might get involved in one of the radio plays, because you're telling me, Louise Hoffman, oh, I'm a little bit shy, Dave, a bit nervous. We're not only performing, we're doing a little bit of voices are coming out. An inner actor is coming out. So you're snooking yourself there. You might be involved. Well, I have to say, it's been a pleasure speaking to you and listening to your poetry again. Brilliant stuff. Thank you for sharing some of your work on the podcast.
Thank you.
And you are welcome back any time. Brilliant stuff. Any final words?
Just thank you very much for having me, David. It's been a pleasure, as always.
You're laughing, you say. It's not a problem. So my guest on this edition of The Writer's Bookshelf, the rising star that is Louise Hoffman. So once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And I will certainly be speaking to you on the next episode. And if you want to find out a little bit more about me, go to the website, daviddriverauthor.com. But for now, it's a goodbye and take care and keep weaving your words of magic. Say goodbye, Louise.
Goodbye. Have a lovely weekend. Oh, it won't be a weekend.
Well, it will be because it'll be Tuesday and there'll be a weekend coming after it. Just can't get the right guests on the show every now and then, can you? Listeners, thanks for listening, and I will speak to you on the next episode. Bye for now.